faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
Dad started us all young.
When I was younger, he dressed me in 49ers stuff.
When I was probably like 2, he put me in like a cheerleading costume. I became a 49er fan, what can I say? I'm nowhere near where my dad is, but I'll get there someday.
Darren Gilbertson is a true 49er faithful, plain and simple. He loves the team and professes his fandom every day. Darren can be viewed as one of the most loyal around town. The only trouble is that town is 2,100 miles away from the team's headquarters.
I've lived in Amory my whole life, become a 49er fan when my sister brought me to my first game at Candlestick when I was 14 in 1980, and that stadium was electric. I mean, it was hooked from that day.
Welcome to Amory, Wisconsin, population 2,902. It sits just beyond the border of the St. Croix River that divides Minnesota and Wisconsin and finds itself wedged in Viking and Packer territory. And as a fan of the 49ers, that can be a tough sell. Even to Christy Gilbertson, Darren's wife of 24 years.
Well, I have always loved the Packers. When Darren and I met, we had a few years of button heads, and as the years went on and Darren started collecting more things, I got to learn more about the 49ers. He would always say, "You're coming over to my side now," I think. 5-6 years after we were married, he was saying, you know, "Can I get you a jersey?" And so finally I decided, okay, Colin Kaepernick came on, and I love watching him play, so I said yes.
He is the biggest fan I could possibly imagine.
Yeah, when it comes to Gilby, I've known him for over 30 years, and he's always been a 49er fan.
Played ball as a kid, he always wore stuff, and he still carries the tradition well.
He doesn't go out very much without a Niners shirt or a Niners jersey on.
Everything he does revolves around the 49ers, from the moment he wakes up to the moment he goes to sleep.
It's definitely difficult here. Everybody knows in town who the Niner fan is around here.
The level of difficulty of being a fan outside your team's footprint can be a burden to some. But to Darren, it's a badge of honor. Rarely seen without team colors on, he has literally shown just how driven a fan he is.
It's a 32 Ford, 3-window coupe. Actually was going to buy one out in Seattle. Ooh, Seattle. So my son actually found this one. Of course, it had to be red. Oh, I drive it all the time. Get a lot of looks. My kids really get a kick out of it.
Everybody knows that my dad's a big 49er fan. It helps when people see his car, too, because that's his 49er rod.
In our car, he wanted me to get a 49ers plate, so now I can't ever hide.
He does deck it out and drive it proudly.
He's been here long enough in the community that people know.
It's well known throughout the community that he is a 49er fan, and he plays a lot of softball, so a lot of the surrounding communities also know he's a big 49er fan.
So the question is, in a small town with a tight group of buddies, all who root for the opposition, by the way, how is the relationship between Darren and his crew?
It's a bittersweet relationship, you know. He gets mad at us because we do a lot of chirping to him sometimes, but that's to be expected when you're a you know, a Niner fan over in Cheeseland here, so.
Oh, yeah, they give me a hard time, but it's all in good fun.
He takes it really well.
Never a time I was a Packer fan. They're great fans, though. Packer fans are loyal fans just like Niner fans are, so I got respect for them.
Fans of the Pack are widely viewed as some of the best in the NFL. A trip to Lambeau Field will surely prove that to be evident. But Wisconsinites in general are amongst the most welcoming and kind folks in the United States.
People in Wisconsin are down-to-earth kind of people. It's a great place to live, except the winters.
It's a very blue-collar area.
Work hard, play hard, have a good time.
Grab your lunch bucket, let's go to work. Come home, have a couple cans of beer out in the garage. Turn the tunes on, let's rock and roll. I mean, that's what it is. It's a lot of hunting, fishing, backwoods, camping. I think it's a beautiful place, and I think everybody should come visit it.
If you get a chance to travel to Wisconsin, besides some of the state's marquee sports destinations, there's plenty to see. It's the home of Harley-Davidson motorcycles, the National Railroad Museum, and of course, cheese factories. Wisconsin continues to be the largest cheese producer in the United States and annually produces over 2.6 billion pounds alone. But one of the best-kept secrets in the Badger State doesn't allow tourists to buy a ticket or peruse through its halls. It's only for the most faithful, and it will take your breath away.
When we have friends over, when they haven't seen the basement for the first time, we always get the people that come down and they're just like, oh my gosh. They say it's like a museum.
Odds are they're speechless.
I started off my original man cave in Amory in 94, and then we moved here and built the house in 2003. I started this one, and it's just kind of built over the years, and I got a friend, Dennis. He gives me a lot of the stuff. He's a big part of this basement.
The man cave is a shrine to his faithfulness, a growing reminder of Darren's love for the franchise and those who have proudly worn the red and gold. On average, about 20 to 30 items are added each year. Jerseys, helmets, trinkets, and knickknacks. Objects of all types are collected. Inanimate and animate alike.
We have a dog named Niner. Everything revolves around the Niners, so like they have no idea until they actually see it in real life.
The collection began when Darren and his late father, Dwayne, constructed a custom Niners bar that sits proudly as the centerpiece of the Amory Man Cave. And from there, it grew and grew and grew.
It seemed that every time he'd find something 49ers, he'd always call me up because he had a place in Florida that he'd go in the wintertime. In fact, he got me this chair. He goes, oh, what do you think? Would you like to think I should buy this chair? Well, how much is it? He told me, I says, definitely buy it. So it's funny. That's what's nice about all my friends around here. Anytime they see something 49ers that's kind of different, they'll buy it for me and bring it over. It's kind of cool. The collection started with the Joe Montana jersey. I think I got my first piece was in 94.
Whenever he gets something new, he will be down here rearranging, and then he'll call me downstairs after everything's done. He's like, do you notice anything different? And I'm just like, okay, where's Waldo?
Oh, I don't even know the amount of stuff I have here. I think I got like 42 autographed jerseys, I think, and three Super Bowl trophies. Hopefully I got to get two more yet to finish that off, and three after this year when we win at Levi's. I've never really counted the stuff, you know. I just keep collecting and collecting, and I finally had to move to the ceiling.
As Darren started collecting more and more things, he was starting to run out of room on the walls, and I always told him that you can keep your 49ers down in the basement. The upstairs is my space.
She's very patient with Dad's hobby because she lets him go up the stairs with his stuff.
I'm trying to creep upstairs a little bit.
He started creeping up a little bit on up the steps to the landing, and I said, okay, that's it, that's it.
I bet when Christy probably thought about having a basement, she probably wasn't thinking in these terms, so I'm thinking that Darren is very fortunate to have his wife to let him do this. I mean, the guy's got probably the best collection of memorabilia that, you know, anybody could have. No matter what team you're rooting for, this is pretty awesome. I hope the 49er Nation can respect this room, because as a Packer fan, I respect it.
Do you have your own incredible faithful story to tell? Or do you know someone who truly is a faithful? Let us know about it. Email 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com and share it with the world. In Amory, Wisconsin, the Gilbertson family is flying the flag of faithfulness. Day in and day out, Darren and his family practice what they preach as their house, their cars, and even their dog Niner are tributes to the team they love. And for the past two decades, a tremendous rivalry has been brewing between the state they call home and the team they call their own. The Packers and the 49ers, although in different divisions, have been worthy adversaries in some of the best games in recent memory.
But when Favre came to town, back then we had the upper hand, especially in the playoffs, you know, 96, 97. The last three, 4 years, Kaepernick came to town and it was like, we were clueless. We didn't know what to do.
Case in point. In the 2013 wild card round, the Kaepernick-led 49ers drew the Packers and sub-zero temperatures. And that game, like the games before it, had all the drama and excitement that the Green Bay San Francisco rivalry had offered.
Let's take it! Let's make it out! Everything we got! Let's go!
Give it to Gore Frank, left side of the five, cuts back, diving, and he is in! Touchdown 49ers! Throws the deep post for Vernon Davis. He's got it! Touchdown 49ers! Third and 10 at the 49ers 31. Kaepernick pulls the ball down, scrambling to his left. He's going to run to the sideline. To the 30, he got the first down. Kaepernick made the play with his legs. Lee puts it down. Dawson kicks it up, and it is good. And the San Francisco 49ers have survived Lambeau.
Only a year earlier, the two teams squared off in what would be Colin Kaepernick's first postseason game. In the 2012 divisional playoff game, the Wisconsin-born quarterback would not only dazzle the hometown faithful at the stick, but would run roughshod over the Packers' defense and into the NFL record books.
And Kaepernick is gone! Colin Kaepernick! He faked out the entire stadium!
And he really fast. Yeah.
When it was all said and done, Cap's day would end with a victory for his team. The second-year signal caller amassed 263 yards through the air while rushing for a quarterback record 181 yards and two touchdowns. In the lore of Green Bay versus the Bay Area, this game stands as a great one, but not as memorable as the game that took place January 3rd, 1999.
We had our way with them for a few years, and then it got broken when Steve Young hit Owens in the end zone on that one play.
Well, it would probably have to be the T.O. catch against the Packers. Would probably be the biggest one right now. Watching it with my friends, and of course, they always go back to the Rice fumble, which he didn't fumble, no way, his knee was down. That one sticks out just because I was with my Packer buddies when we were watching it.
Wild card weekend, the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. A series that's been dominated by the Green Bay Packers for the last five games. Will it change this afternoon?
Well, there was so much emotion around that game because of the history of the two teams.
So the Packers had become the Cowboys.
The 49ers had lost five consecutive times to the Packers going into that game, and there were all sorts of connections. Steve Mariucci had been the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers, and Mike Holmes Holmgren was the head coach. Mike Holmgren, at this point, was 5-0 against San Francisco.
He'd taken everything that Bill Walsh taught and took it to Green Bay, and so it was like playing ourselves, so it was very frustrating.
Steve Young had never beaten Brett Favre.
Brett Favre took the lead late in the game with a Q8 or a sprint right option, the same play that Joe threw to Dwight Clark for the catch, to take the lead against us. They're using our plays in Candlestick in the playoffs to take the lead.
Steve Young wasn't going to let it happen on that particular day.
We had to beat the Packers. We had to come back.
He had a great drive down the field to get inside the 25-yard line, but the clock is down to 8-9 seconds. That's all that's left in the game.
It's all go, last play.
As he goes back to throw the ball, he falls.
I trip, and I came up and looked, and there's this big hole that shouldn't be there.
So he throws the pass over the middle.
Owen! 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 Caught it! He caught it! He caught it! He caught it! And he makes the winning touchdown catch!
I just remember feeling like, this is the greatest moment.
He hangs onto the ball, breaks out in tears, goes over and hugs Steve Mariucci. It was as dramatic an ending as you will ever see in a football game.
I don't believe it. One of the greatest finishes in 49er history.
In the northern part of the country, people prepare for 49er games in different ways, just as you do in your hometown. In Amory, Wisconsin, 49er faithful Darren Gilbertson gets himself set to root on his team in a regimented but very superstitious way.
Sunday game, well, 8 o'clock usually I get up, decide what jersey I'm going to wear, and I'm sure my kids are going to give you all kinds of stories about how dad is on game day.
And as the game gets closer, he starts doing his rituals, which is like hitting his fat heads as he goes around to the basement, and he makes us kiss everybody's Super Bowl trophy. We also have to kiss our grandpa's pitcher.
Yeah, I get pretty intense. Fired up loud. Christy can be upstairs. She'll know exactly who's winning.
I always tell everybody, did you hear our house rocking here? Because it's like the wall shake.
He changes his jerseys if they're not doing good.
I'll put on a jersey, and if the Niners aren't playing well, I'll go up and switch, and I'll just keep switching back and forth. I'll go through probably, depending on how the game's going, 3-4 jerseys maybe a game. It's just the way I am. I'm very superstitious that way, and it's like, I know it don't have effect on it, but in my mind it does.
He's crazy after a game. He's so happy, and he goes around usually screaming. Well, that happens during the game, too, but it's like a big deal for him. He gets so happy, and he's totally on a high the rest of the night, and it's a good feeling when the Niners win.
When the schedule first comes out to start the year, I don't have to worry about looking at it because I know now I'm going to get a phone call from Darren if the 49ers are on the schedule right away. I don't know if he lives on his phone or if the schedule is automatically sent to him, but he's all over it.
Well, when I seen the schedule and the Niners are on it, you know, I was happy because, you know, we've been on it the last few years. Other than the fact that we haven't had a very good outcome as Packer fans, and he's like, get ready, boys.
I can honestly say that I have never watched a game with him. He really will not allow it.
Although some of the Amory, Wisconsin gang haven't had the opportunity to sit with the Gilbertsons to see a game, they can see Darren's faithfulness each and every day. And for many like him across the planet, the meaning of the word faithful isn't taken lightly, nor is his love for his team.
Faithful to me is you're by your team whether they're 0-16 or 16-0. You stick by them through the good and the bad. With all the changes that went on this year, I love the 49ers, and faithful is being with them through the good and the bad, not bailing on them and ripping on the team. You'll never hear me ever say anything bad about the 49ers. That's part of being faithful.
Members of the faithful, as you can see, we love telling a good story. Trust us to share yours by reaching out to 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com.
A Wisconsin food to me would be bratwurst.
You gotta have the brats.
Beer cheese soup. Anything that has to do with cheese or beer.
They like their beer. They like their bratwurst. Cheese is good.
Brats, sauerkraut, cheese curds.
You gotta have cheese curds. My daughter, when she went to Chico, she goes, "Where are the cheese curds?" And the kids looked at her like, "What's cheese curds?"
In Wisconsin, we're known for our cheese curds. Cheese curds are deep fried mozzarella type cheese, and they're just ooey gooey. There's nothing like them. They're awesome.
On the next Faithful.
Title is The Valley of the Shadow of Death. And this is from Psalm 23. And the valley is a test. And you're put in this dark place. How do you come out of it?
And he put his arm around me in the car and he says, "Okay, I'm going to tell this story one time from start to finish and you can't interrupt me. You have to just let me tell the story because I've never told it before."
He was living life as life should be led. Everything was perfect for him. And then, bam, in the course of an hour, it all unraveled.
We went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows because it was at that point in time when my family got massacred.
Somehow, by adopting five kids when he's nearly 70 years old, that freed him. And he said, "I went down there to save Clifton. The five of them actually saved me."